Right now, we welcome in District 42 Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Senator Jacobson.
Good morning, good to see you in the studio.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great to be here.
On a quote-unquote day off, but here you are.
Yeah, day off. We got the four-day weekend, so I was able to get a little campaigning in this weekend. I've got banks.
I've heard a couple ads.
Well, good. I tell you what, I'm campaigning with both arms tied behind my back because the legislature comes first, and that was my commitment from the beginning, and that's what it'll be. You won't see me in full-blown door-knocking mode until we get through the legislative cycle here.
Full-blown door-knocking mode.
Now, Senator Jacobson, before we talk about activities in the current legislative session, it's a bit of an odd day for you. Community Redevelopment Authority for the City of North Platte has a meeting, and for the first time in their history, it's going to be without you in attendance and as a member of the board.
Well, it is strange. I did talk to Greg Wilkie a little bit yesterday and chatted with him about where he goes from here, and I think he's excited to take on the challenge, and he'll do a great job. And we had a great CRA. I think Rob Stefka is the acting chair, and I'm assuming he probably will be elected a chair moving forward. Rob's been around. We've worked together. I think he'll do a great job to kind of keep moving it forward. And I think, a lot of this gets back to we didn't do a lot of projects. We did 16 projects, but I think the projects we did were meaningful projects that helped move North Platte forward. Sustainable beef, of course, that's the big deal today to finalize the redevelopment plan. And I think the final pieces got put in place there. I think they're very close to maybe getting funding lined up to move forward. And we've got some good things happening in the legislature to get some additional funding for them there.
Yeah, nice things that are going to complement each other. And Senator Jacobson, there was some misconception and some rumors that there was some things being held up in the CRA in terms of the Sustainable Beef Project. And things were, I guess, being held up, but just specifically to make sure that all the ducks were properly in a row. And you've come on the air before and verified that. But more importantly, there was some miscommunication or some deception throughout the community that this was not a project that you supported.
Oh, yeah. This is a project I've supported from the beginning. I think when they first met with me a year ago last October, I raised two issues that they really had to address, and one of them was could they control the odor issue, and the second was how are they going to handle assimilation of workers. And I think that as it related to the odor controls, that was a concern of the mayor's. So we made it a point to actually fly to Idaho to literally look at a plant, and took decision makers from the council and the planning commission and the mayor's office to be able to see firsthand how they were controlling the odor there. I'm fully satisfied that they will be able to do what they need to do there. And I also think that from the worker standpoint, I'm comfortable that there will be changes, but we'll be able to assimilate. I think the key is that North Platte is a lot larger city than Lexington was at the time that they got the IBP plan originally. And at the same time, they hired significantly more workers than what we're talking about here in North Platte. So I feel very good about the project. I really hope this project will move forward. It will be a game changer for North Platte. And I think we did the due diligence that needed to be done. As far as holding anything up, at the end of the day, they just got to finish raising their capital. And so it's really not held anything up. The land's ready to go. They're still doing engineering work. They've still got permitting they've got to do for the DEQ and so on. But the CRA was really just working side by side with them in terms of where they needed to get to in terms of getting our pieces done. And then basically they're still going to have a lot of work to do with the EPA and NDEQ.
Sure.
And all of those pieces on any kind of permitting. This will be a couple year build out on the project. It's getting more and more expensive every day, which I feel horrible about.
Yes, unfortunately.
But and then we're also looking at this labor shortage, and it's going to be a challenge to get the labor hired, and it's also going to be a challenge to find houses for the labor. So that's another part that we've really got to focus on is affordable housing and how do we get it built with rising interest rates, continually rising costs. I know anybody caught a segment on 60 Minutes on Sunday night, really talked about the national issue with housing and how housing's becoming unaffordable.
And we feel that here for sure.
We really are. And I will also tell you that I've been meeting with some builders from around the country about what would it take to come in here and if we created subdivisions to build 7,500 homes in one shot and do it in multiple homes. And here's the pushback we're getting right now from these major builders. is they're saying they don't want to come in and build a house and sell it because they get the fees, no matter how much they mark it up, they don't make a huge amount of money. What they want to do is build homes and rent them. They want to own them. And they want to get the depreciation. They want to get the appreciation over time. And I'm just saying, I don't think that dog's going to hunt here, that we have people that want to own, and we want people to own homes.
Absolutely.
And so that's one of the pushbacks that's happening nationally right now. And the 60 Minutes segment really kind of addressed that a little bit as well, of a lot of developers saying, I want to build the hold. I don't want to build the sell.
Mm. And Senator Jacobson, going back to sustainable beef, this is a measure that you've supported as a voting member of the Community Redevelopment Authority for the City of North Platte. You've spoken in favor of at city council meetings. As the president of Nebraska Land National Bank, you provided assistance in terms of getting the city crew out there to Idaho to do some investigation on their own. And now as a current state senator, you've added your name on as a co-sponsor to bills that would provide some state funding for Sustainable Beef LLC as well. So you've really hit this from all angles.
Well, I have. And again, it's an important project. I mean, this is a big game changer for us. Between Sustainable Beef and the rail park, those are two big additions to this area that will have significant impacts. And again, with Sustainable Beef, it's not just the jobs that are direct jobs that are created by the plant. But when you look at what's happening by the big four who have a stranglehold on the beef industry, the packing industry, the money that's being made by them and hence the money that's not being made by our producers is really almost criminal and maybe is criminal. And I would just tell you that being able to have another outlet here for the producers in this region, we will see significant economic improvements.
Sure.
At the producer level. A big part of what we've got to focus on, people have asked me, how do we grow Nebraska's economy? How do we grow our rural economy? We're going to do it through value-added industries like sustainable beef. We've got to be able to do things that not only create higher-paying jobs with good benefits, but we've also got to be looking at how can we create a better market, whether that be for beef cattle, whether that be for corn producers through ethanol plants. That kind of value-added manufacturing is really going to help move us forward. And I'd also say that today it's more than creating jobs. We've got plenty of jobs. What we don't have is enough good jobs. Mm-hmm. And that's why I focus again on the railroad. And I start thinking about, we got to be really careful that as we try to create new jobs, what we have to also do is we need to make sure we protect the existing quality jobs that we have. So as I look at the railroad in particular, and I've already had conversations with lobbyists in Lincoln that represent both the UP and of course also the Burlington, but I made it pretty clear to them that, just so you know, the two-man crew is going to be non-negotiable on my watch. And I would also tell you that when it comes to other pieces that we need to put in place to make certain that we can keep a qualified workforce here in North Platte that's going to work on the railroad, run the trains, both as conductors and engineers, and the people in the yards. These are great jobs that pay well and have great benefits. We need to protect those jobs, and that's what I'm really focused on doing. That's as important, if not more important, than increasing new jobs, but we need to do both.
Well, I think too, Senator Jacobson, the two-man crew bill specifically, yes, I think that's of vital importance for the job industry here and for the economy as well, but also it's a matter of safety. I feel a lot better knowing there's two people on a locomotive personally, because think about the damage that these trains can cause if they go off track and derail. I mean, and not to mention the safety of another person in the locomotive as well.
Well, and these trains are getting larger. They're getting longer. Sure. We're going to more unit trains with a lot of cars. And so when you start looking at trying to stop those, the safety is really big. I always kind of joke with people, I fly in our plane and I'm not a pilot. And people ask me, well, what would happen if your pilot died? And I said, well, I'd be able to get up front and fly us directly to the crash site. So, and I think that's a little bit what you run into with a runaway train.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us here on KODY's Mugs of the Morning. And Senator Jacobson, last week in the Nebraska legislative session, definitely a busy week, Monday through Thursday, off on Friday from the legislative session. But My goodness, we were talking off the air a lot of overcoming of potential filibusters, especially with a lot of debate around the budget.
Yeah, the budget and what we did is the budget has to be approved by the 25th of March. It's basically the 50th day of the legislature. So we had been working on a lot of consent calendar bills prior to that. Consent calendar bills would be anything that had no 100% vote, all ayes in the committee, and no one opposed to the bill at the hearings. Those generally get consent calendar. They move very quickly through general file to select and hopefully to final reading and signed. Well, after you get through those, then you start getting those that have a little more controversy. The big one that hit last week on the budget, and we knew that there were going to be a lot of railing on the budget, and the big one was the money allocated, $175 million, to start building a new state prison.
Sure.
And that ended up, Steve Lathrop is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. He's pushing very hard for prison reform, sentencing reform, parole reform, and it all sounds good, and I'm not saying there aren't reforms that we can make. But when it comes to releasing hardened criminals from prison, I'm a no vote, okay?
And it's not a one-size-fits-all either. I mean, we're talking about individuals and crime. I mean, this is not a one-size-fits-all.
Correctly. That's correct. And I would also tell you that there's a lot of talk about reducing the mandatory minimums or eliminating mandatory minimums. And I always kind of go back and say, well, why do we get mandatory minimums to begin with? Well, all we got to do is look at the national level right now. And how many activist judges are out there that are releasing people who are convicted of murder, and they're getting 6 months, or they're getting probation, or they're not being sentenced properly? That's how those mandatory minimums came in to begin with. So I'm very concerned, particularly given that if we have the problem now, how is it going to get any better if we start reducing some of that? Now, the other side of that coin is that the prison currently system right now in Nebraska is at 150% of capacity. So we've got to do something in terms of getting new capacity online, because if we don't, then we are going to get the federal government coming in here telling us you will release prisoners, mm-hmm. period.
And that's even more concerning. Perhaps.
It is.
So. Senator Jacobson, anything else from the legislative session last week you wanted to bring up this morning, sir?
You know, the only thing I would just say that last week was one of those frustrating weeks because of the prison component. We were filibustered virtually through the week, and we finally got through the debate and were able to move the budget to the next round of debate to select file. This week coming up now, tomorrow, we will bring in and we'll start talking about ARPA funding, and we'll try to finish getting the budget bills done. And keep in mind that it's very unique this year because we've got the budget, the budget's always approved the first half of the biennium, and then this legislative session, the 60-day session, we're just making adjustments. So we're really talking about budget adjustments. Then we're talking about transfers from the general fund due to additional revenues that are being transferred into different projects. And then we're looking at ARPA. Okay, and right now there's so much money flowing around, which is really, in my mind, a bad situation because we've got to be so focused on one-time spend levels. And then I heard something that was, I guess, it would be worse than the old fingernails on the chalkboard. I literally heard a sitting state senator say, we need to quit wasting money on tax refunds or tax reduction. And I'm sitting here saying, I think you've got this backwards. See, yes. I'm someone that believes that we're entitled to keep all of the money that we make, and then we pay to the government what we absolutely need to support essential services. But there are those out there that believe, no, the government should take all your paycheck and give back what they think you should have.
Yeah. Founding fathers would have something to say about
They're rolling over as we even say that out loud.
Nails on a chalkboard, I think, is a bit of an understatement there, Mike. My goodness. Concerning.
But I will tell you this. I found that there are 49 of us in the legislature. Everyone's got their own ideas about how things work. I've just found that having mutual respect, working with everyone, will get a lot of things done. I'm very pleased with where the projects are for North Platte. I think at this point, knock on wood, You're going to see me speaking very sparingly on the floor, because I remember a rule that I learned long ago in business, and that was, when you make the sale, quit selling. And I think that's where we are today. We've got the $15 million for sustainable beef in the ARPA budget, plus another $5 million that I requested that we get in there. So at this point, we're penciled in for $20 million for sustainable beef. We're penciled in for $50 million coming from fund transfers to go in addition to the $50 million that was already laid out for the rail parks, so North Platte could potentially get the full $30 million early up front for the rail park. Those are two huge projects. I would also tell you that it looks like on the other shovel-ready projects, which would impact the DNN's grant request for shovel-ready projects, the Ag Society's request for what they want to do at the fairgrounds.
Sure.
Those are, I think, in good position. Likely what's going to happen is that money is going to get split three ways through each of the three congressional districts, and then the DED will make the call. I think those two projects in particular look very good in terms of getting funded. So I feel like right now we're in a great position. So right now I'm no longer having to play offense. I've been able to work around behind the scenes, working with people on the Appropriations Committee to get the funding in place for us and to keep it there. Now it's coming to the floor, and the Speaker made it pretty clear the other day that if you're going to bring your project that didn't get funded, you've got to bring in your amendment. Where is it going to come from? So I'll be listening very, very carefully to anybody trying to poach our money.
I like the way that was put. Poach our money, yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, it's our money now, and I'm going to do everything to protect it.
And as far as the governor goes, too, these are issues that he's been very supportive of as well, and I'm sure he's excited to sign into law if it passes the legislature.
That's exactly right, and the governor and I have talked about that early on and have continued along the way. His support was very important to all of this, and I think there are a number of senators down there that I've been able to build relationships with that really appreciate the fact that I've been willing to work with them. And I think they really want to try to help me get this to the finish line as well. So I think that's also something that's running in our favor.
Senator Jacobson, as we look ahead, legislative activities this week when you and your fellow senators convene back at the state capitol tomorrow, what's on the agenda? More conversation on the budget, I could imagine?
Yes. One of the challenges we had last week with the budget was that, see, we only had, as I said, there's three different funding sources. Well, the budget was delivered, and I didn't bring the budget book with me, but it's about this thick, and it's full of numbers. And I will tell you, that's where my background really helps. I'm used to looking at those numbers. And
you know
decide
a thing or two about numbers from
I know
your
a thing or two about numbers. So we did have a briefing the week before, and it makes sense. And so you kind of understand, okay, what they're doing. So we've got the numbers for budget transfers and the budget bill itself, but we haven't seen the ARPA bill, okay, the final ARPA recommendations. And those are still kind of moving around, although sustainable beef would be in that ARPA funding. And I'm continuing to be assured by all the people I've been working with on APPROPES that they're not messing with our numbers. And
no, don't let them poach anything.
No poaching. So that bill, that final recommendation's coming to the floor tomorrow morning. So that's when things are going to get interesting. So now we're going to have the total equation. Now we're going to know all the dollars that are there, how everything's been proposed to be allocated, and now let the fun begin. Because now you're going to have people that, well, gee, my project didn't get funded, so I want money over here. Where are you going to get it from? Well, I think I want to take it from the Perkins County Canal Project, or I want to take it from this. So now I've just got to be making sure that, no, I don't think so, we're not taking that.
And Speaker Hilders would have a thing or two to say about those, too.
Yes, he will. And one other thing I want to mention, I did want to do a shout-out for Todd Van Kampen at the Telegraph. Excellent editorial this last on Sunday about daylight savings time. And I think Todd always does his research.
Yes.
I really am impressed with what he does. That bill was dropped as well. And, of course, now since that time, the Senate has voted unanimously to do a national daylight savings time. So they're saying that we go from standard time to daylight savings time and we stay there. So we would as Todd outlined in the paper, we would fall back this fall, and then we would spring ahead a year from now, and then we would stay there. It wouldn't happen again. I will tell you this, and I would be interested in people's input on this. I would tell you that there's a lot of evidence out there, and there's almost unanimous feeling that we need to stop moving the clocks around. Okay, so now the question is going to be, is it daylight savings time permanently, or is it standard time personally?
Sure.
And I should say, just stay permanently at that. And I think Todd's point, where we live here and are in the 42nd District, and as you look at, as you move on west of here, we're right on the edge. So we're getting the extremes to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then you start thinking about, okay, can you imagine coming to North Platte, you get between Paxton and Sutherland, and you're going to change your time. And then if Colorado doesn't change, you get to the Colorado border, you got to change the time clock again. Another time change again. And then running the math on dark. And the big thing that we were seeing on the pushback is that people were concerned if you go to daylight savings time, you got kids getting up, going to school in the dark. Mm-hmm. Okay, but at the same time, if you go with standard time, then
they're coming home.
They're coming home in the dark. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know about you guys, but for me, and I think for most, and I think a lot of the research that's been done, the daylight savings time is good because if we stick on an 8-to-5 job, you go home at 5 o'clock, and you might be close to 10 o'clock at night when this, 9:30 at night when the sun goes down.
You got time to do things.
You can do things.
Absolutely. Yep.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah.
To me, the whole it's a moot point all the way because there's only X amount of light out there. It is a man-made principle where we put the starting point.
Yes.
Who cares?
Yeah. And Senator Jacobson, Senator Breezy has been a real champion of this cause in the legislature. He's really done his homework on this proposal for a number of years now.
Yes, he has. And I would tell you that it's interesting, Ken Shills, when he was the state senator from Ogallala.
Yeah, the Keith County area.
Yeah, the Keith County area. He championed this bill, and it was kind of funny. My daughter was telling me about this because she works with him. She said, it was interesting because he got up and he says, I'm trying to get you more sunlight. And there were people thinking, really? So he's going to be able to change it, so we're going to have more sunlight and less darkness. It's like, no.
More working light.
The powers that our state senators have.
I didn't realize that was out there.
However, we have Congress people that have stated that they want the daylight saving times because that gives us more daylight so that we have more for solar energy.
No. And they said that out loud. They said that out loud.
They did.
I wish I could tell you I was surprised at some of them, though.
There's just X amount out there every day. And speaking of which, we're at the
second day of spring. Is that what you're going to say?
Well, the vernal equinox.
Oh, okay.
We are at that point where the Earth is on its axis in relation to the sun that we should have about a balanced light to dark here.
Interesting. Senator Jacobson, I love what you brought up, too, with Mr. Van Kampen. Does a great job, no matter if he's covering state news, county, city. We ask him to cover a lot, and he does a great job of balancing them all and getting everybody the most up-to-date and accurate information.
He always kept me down the straight and narrow on the airport because he has all the history on the airport, so I'd always be careful when I'm talking to him about the airport.
He's like a historian.
Yes, he is a historian when it comes to the airport here.
Now, Senator Jacobson, you mentioned that you'd appreciate some feedback on the proposal specifically around the time change, but if there's any of your legislative 42 constituents that want to get in contact with you, what's the best way for them to do so?
Contact my staff. Email me, mjacobson@leg.ne.gov, and send it to that email address. Every legislature has the same email address. It's just your first initial, last name, and then at leg.ne.gov. But shoot me an email. Those of you who have my cell number, call me. There's also a number. I haven't memorized the number at the legislature, but Christina's there to take your calls, and she tracks that all day and keeps me advised as to who's calling and lets me know the messages and give me the feedback. And I'm getting tons of emails, and I appreciate that. I truly want the feedback. I will be the first one to tell you that I have a vast amount of experience, but I'm not going to pretend that I know everything, and particularly when you get into the nitty-gritty details, I want to hear how that's impacting real people here in the district. I want to know your input. I want to know what you're thinking. And the only way I can really truly represent you is to know exactly what you're thinking.
And I will bring up, too, the phone number and the legislative email is available on the legislature's website. So if you don't have time to write them down, just go to the legislature's website and it's
correct.
Easy to find.
So. It is.
And I haven't checked in a few weeks, but I think they're still printed every week in the Telegraph.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh, interesting. Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time. Safe travels back down to Lincoln. Good luck this week, and we'll see you again next Monday.
Thanks a lot, guys.